तस्माद् ब्रह्मा ऋषिनेतान् ब्रह्मन् मत्स्यदयार्चया एवं चेदचितोऽस्म्यधा नान्यथा भूरिभूतिभिः तस्मद् ब्रह्म ऋषिन्नेतान् ब्रह्मन्मत्सदयार्चया एवं चेदर्चितोऽस्म्याधा नान्यथा भूरिभूतिभिः Tasmat, therefore, Brahmarishin, Brahman sages, Etan, these, Brahman, O Brahmana, Srutadev, Mat, as you have for me, Swadaya, with faith, Archaya, just worship. Evam. Thus. Chet. If you do. Architaha. Worshipped. Asmi. I will be. Adha. Directly. Na. Not. Anyata. Otherwise. Bhuri. Vast. Bhutibhihi. With riches. Therefore you should worship these Brahman sages, O Brahmana, with the same faith you have in me. If you do so, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even with offerings of vast riches. Text 58. Sri Sukuru Vacha Sa Itam Prabhuna Dishtaha Saha Krishnan Dvijottaman Harajoikat Mabhavena Maitilas Cha Pasadgatim. Sri Sukha said, so instructed by his Lord, with single-minded devotion, Srutadev worshipped Sri Krishna and the topmost Brahmanas accompanying him, and King Bahulashva did the same. Thus both Srutadev and the king attained the ultimate transcendental destination. Text 59. Evam svabhaktayo rajan bhagavan bhakta bhaktiman ushitva disyasan margam punardvaravatim magat. O king, thus the personality of Godhead, who is devoted to his own devotees, stayed for some time with his two great devotees, Srutadev and Bahulashva, teaching them the behaviour of perfect saints. Then the Lord returned to Dvaraka. Purport. In his narration of this pastime in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada concludes, the instructions we receive from this incident is that King Bahulashva and Srutadev, the Brahmana, were accepted by the Lord on the same level because both were pure devotees. This is the real qualification for being recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it has become the fashion of this age to become falsely proud of having taken birth in the family of a Kshatriya or a Brahmana, we see persons without any disqualification claiming to be Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya. But as it is stated in the scriptures, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, in this age of Kali, everyone is born a Shudra. This is because there is no performance of the purificatory process known as samskaras, which begin from the time of the mother's pregnancy and continue up to the point of the individual's death. No one can be classified as a member of a particular caste, especially of a higher caste, Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya, simply by birthright. If one is not purified by the process of the seed-giving ceremony or Gabbadhana samskara, he is immediately classified among the Sudras, because only the Sudras do not undergo this purificatory process. Sex life without the purificatory process of Krishna consciousness is merely the seed-giving process of the Sudras or the animals. But Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection by which everyone can come to the platform of Vaishnava. of a Vaishnava. This includes having all the qualifications of a Brahmana. The Vaishnavas are trained to become freed from the four kinds of sinful activities, illicit sex, indulgence in intoxicants, gambling, and eating animal foodstuffs. No one can be on the Brahminical platform without having these preliminary qualifications, and without becoming a qualified Brahmana, one cannot become a pure devotee. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 86th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra and Krishna Blesses His Devotees. Om Ajana Timirandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Maheyam Tadakti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahambande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, what do we learn from all of this? The first thing is that yoginam apisavesham madgatena antaratmana sradavan bhajate yomams same yuktatamo mataha. First thing is that one who is a devotee is considered to be the topmost person. Right. I think that's the main point. A devotee is the topmost person. But in order to be a devotee, one has to have certain qualifications. You know, there's a third class devotee, there's a second class devotee, and there's a first class devotee. And that's not dependent on birth, education, austerity, wealth, knowledge. It's not really dependent on any material qualification, as evidenced here by the fact that both Shrutadev and Bahulasva, one is the king and one is a brahmana, were both accepted and recognized by the Lord. Because of their devotional service, not because of their material qualifications, but because of their devotional service. So, a devotee is the highest so long as he's a pure devotee, mind you, you know, because there are levels of devotion. As Prabhupada points out here, or he's quoted here saying, you know, people are proud of their position. Sometimes even people become proud of being a devotee. It's not really appreciated. Not appreciated by Krishna. It's not appreciated by the other devotees either, for that matter. Because Vija Vinaya Sampane, a devotee should be really endowed with good qualities, the qualities of a gentleman or a gentlewoman. Vidya, learning. And learning means not pride, but learning means humility. gentlemanly behaviour. And in order to acquire these qualifications, then there are characteristics, and certainly the characteristics of Brahmanas, Brahminical culture, Brahminical qualification, that are advised, recommended, in order for one to come to the platform of pure devotion. So it's not being a Brahmana necessarily, you know, but having the qualifications of a Brahmana that's important. And so therefore, you know, for devotees, it doesn't really matter whether one's a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra at all. Really, it doesn't matter, because and each one of us will have our natural tendencies, natural inclinations to work. Guna karma vibhaga saha, Krishna explains how. You know, chaturvanya maya srishtam guna karma vibhaga saha. So according to the qualities that we have and the karma that we've been involved in previous lifetimes and in this lifetime, we'll have certain propensities and we'll act in a particular way. And, you know, just like the tail of a dog or your dog, you know, it's all bent up. You try to straighten it out and it'll just go and come back up again. So there are certain qualities and characteristics that we won't get out of our personalities, because that's what we're born with. It's called our prarabdha karma. That, you know, we're stuck with it, and it's not going to go away. But what Krishna consciousness does is, for the sudras, for the vaishyas, for the kshatriyas, and for the brahmanas even, because really in this particular day and age, how many people are actually following that system? How many people? Hands up all of those who were purely following the Varnashram system before they came to Krishna consciousness. Please raise your hands. Can't see anybody. There's no one. Nobody's practicing this system at the moment. But what's recommended for everybody or any... And the other thing is that everybody is pratiloma, atiloma. Is it ati? Prati, ati, loma. We're all mixed up anyway. There isn't anybody coming from a pure Brahman or a pure Kshatriya or a pure Vaishya or a pure Sudra stock. Right? No, hardly anybody. Maybe a few people. Maybe. But generally speaking, it's all mixed up. If you ask people what they are, they don't know, really. They can't work it out. Or if we do analyse our qualities, guna and karma, we'll see we have there's all sorts of propensities mixed up. So the process of devotional service takes us into a Brahminical mode, even for everybody, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, Brahmana. Everybody engages in the process of devotional service, as recommended by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. Basically, that's our system, our process, for everybody. It is Brahminical in culture, if you like. Rise early. Samo damastapa socham chanti rajivam eva cha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma kama svabhava jam. These are the qualities of a Brahmana. Astikyam means follower of the Vedic system, basically. The Vedic system is meant to elevate people up to the point of Brahmana, Brahminical culture. And basically, that means to understand Brahman. Vedanti tat tattva vidas jnanam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabjate. To understand Brahman means to know the different features of the Absolute. the Brahman feature, the Paramatma feature, the Bhagavan feature, right? And all of the different relationships, the personality of Godhead, his incarnations, his characteristics, his qualities, his pastimes, and our relationship with him. This is the Vedic system, Vedic college means Vedic concept, Vedic process, if you like, culture, is meant to bring us to this point of understanding who we are and what our relationship is with the rest of the creation and how we should act in that relationship. This astikyam. It's a Brahminical culture, actually. So the process of devotional service takes a person from wherever they happen to be to the and pretty much throws them straight into this Brahminical culture, whether they're a sudra or whatever. You know, because most of us, at least from the Western culture, we're all animals, basically. Monkeys, or maybe even less than monkeys, basically. So, only speaking from personal experience. So, the whole process of devotional service is basically, it throws us very quickly into the Brahminical culture. Quite of a shock, really, when you think about it. And what does that mean? Rising early in the morning. You know, instead of getting up at midday, you have to rise at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a bit of a shock. Shock for the monkeys. You have to get up early. So, dhammas, sense control, basically, that requires a fair amount of sense control. Samo dhammas tapa. It's austerity, tapa. Very pleasing to Krishna. You know, tapasya is very pleasing to Krishna. When the devotees perform tapasya, then Krishna is very happy. Because it means they're making advancement by sacrificing their natural tendencies towards sense gratification or uncontrolled senses, uncontrolled mind. The persons who engage in the regulated principles of devotional service, they perform austerities. And as a result of those austerities, simple things, rising early, taking a bath, dressing in clean clothes, coming to the temple, greeting, waking Krishna up in the morning. That's what Mangalarti is. Mangalarti is coming to the temple and greeting Krishna as he gets up for the day. Now, this is all Brahminical culture, pretty much in the mode of goodness. And it's applied for everybody, Brahman, Vaishya, Sudra, Kshatriya. Everybody gets that system. That doesn't mean necessarily that we all become Brahmanas, right, by our nature, necessarily. Because as I said before, you know, our guna and karma is fixed. We may be able to change it somewhat, but generally speaking, you know, if you're inclined to work in a particular kind of a way, then that's how you work. So in the daytime we may be, you know, whatever, sudra, vaishya, kshatriya, brahmana even, or as mixed up as we were before, doing so many things. But what devotional service does, it adds in this Brahminical culture. So in the morning and the evening, what are we doing? We're basic, and Brahminical by culture, if you like, Brahminical by activity or behaviour, actually it's not. Because it's transcendental. It's beyond even Brahminical. That's why the devotee is said, is described as being better than a Brahmana, or as good as a Brahmana, or having all of the qualifications of a Brahmana. Because actually, you know, just being a Brahmana, influenced by the mode of goodness, is still in the material world. You know, and it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita how those in the mode of goodness become conditioned by the mode of goodness and the sense of happiness that comes from the mode of goodness. They become a bit proud and, you know, we're the most elevated and the most learned. But unless our learning, unless the learning of the Brahmanas brings them to the point of surrender to Krishna and serving Krishna, then the Brahminical culture is actually useless, practically speaking. If it doesn't bring us to the point of devotional service, then it's considered to be Shrama eva hi kevalam. What's that mean? A waste of time. So this is why, you know, meeting the devotees here, Sridhadeva is told, you know, you should worship these Brahman sages. If you do so, you will worship me directly. Now why? Because the Brahmanas are meant to come to this point of understanding Krishna and devotional service. That's why Bali Maharaj rejected Sukracharya, because he was a Brahmana, right? He was a sage as such, Acharya. Yet because he was against the principle of surrendering to the Lord, then Bali Maharaj, because he's such a great devotee, he could see through this facade of Sukracharya, and so therefore he rejected him. I'm not going to follow your instructions. So Krishna is explaining to Sridhadeva, you worship these sages, these brahmanas. Why? Because they understand the process of devotional service. They understand what it means to surrender to me. And if you worship them, then you will worship me directly, Krishna says. This is how we worship Krishna. We worship Krishna not by worshipping Krishna, but by worshipping Krishna's devotees. Of course, we also worship Krishna. We're fortunate. We have an opportunity to worship Krishna in the form of the Acha Vigraha. But we also get the opportunity to worship Krishna by worshipping the sages or the saintly persons, the brahmanas. But specifically, the devotee brahmanas. Right? And that's why we have in our society, in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, an emphasis on Brahminical culture. And even, the Brahminical initiation. Even for people who aren't necessarily brahmanas as such. They may be Vaishyas, they may be Shudras even. Ordinarily, Shudra means unqualified, not actually being able to being brought close to the spiritual master. We're so fortunate, we have such an exalted spiritual master that even he is powerful enough, potent enough to even imbibe the mood of devotional service even in the hearts of Shudras, or even less than Shudras actually. When you think about it, there's the potency of the Guru. Mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he saves the fallen. And the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. So, there's an emphasis on Brahminical culture. And of course, you know, the giving of the sacred thread, Upanayana and so forth, Upanayana, means basically being brought close to the Guru. Close enough to receive instructions, how to make advancement, for us, not how to make advancement in our material pursuits, not how to make advancement in cultivation of knowledge necessarily, because not that we don't cultivate knowledge, but just to get knowledge and so forth, or just to become a brahmana, but rather the whole purpose of bringing the disciple close to the Guru is so that the Guru can teach the means by which one can come to Krishna. So the means by which one can come to pure devotional service, basically. That's the system. That's our system. And so therefore, we have a process of initiation whereby a devotee demonstrates their eligibility for making advancement in spiritual life by chanting Hare Krishna certain number of times every day for a period of time to demonstrate their steadiness. They avoid meat eating, gambling, intoxication, as the sex Prabhupada mentions, is quoted as saying here. And they follow the samskaras, basically, of devotional service, or the purification of devotional service. Rise early in the morning. You know, it's interesting. Prabhupada said more than once that if you can't rise early for Mangal Aarti, then you're not a Brahmana. You can't be a Brahmana. Prabhupada said this more on a couple of occasions. So, you know, we test the devotees. Rising early, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, doing service. You know, we're not just armchair philosophers who chant Hare Krishna and just study books all day long. But we actually put it into practice. And of course, that's also devotional service. Pada Sevanam, Archam, serving the deities, rendering service, doing all of the things that we do, that's also devotional service. You know, sometimes people look at, you know, they look at, oh, all this service, oh, what do we have to do that for? It's detracting from my Krishna consciousness. That's what happens. It's taking me away from my Krishna consciousness. Well, what happens when we hear and chant, we study Prabhupada's books, and we follow the process of devotional service, and actually our ability to perform devotional service increases. It doesn't decrease. And if it's decreasing, then that means our hearing and chanting is a little bit defective, actually. So we have this system. You know, we test a person for a year. We test them for 6 months, certainly. We test them. Are they able to rise early? Are they able to chant Hare Krishna? Can they follow the regulative principles? And if a person has has achieved that level of application, then they're considered eligible for an eligible candidate for initiation into the cult of Krishna consciousness. Right? We're a cult and we initiate people into the cult. Strictly, that's what we do. If you cult has a pejorative sort of, you know, it's a pejorative term, which means like a negative. But that's what we are. We're a cult. Basically, cult means a group of people who come together for similar interests. You know, it's not actually a bad thing. It's just a technical term. It's just the papers of, you know, the modern communication system have created this aura of negativity around doing things like that. That actually is very positive. And so when a person is ready for initiation, then we test them. We have a simple system, at least, qualifying a person so that they can take shelter of an initiating guru within ISKCON is a fairly simple process. One has to have been chanting 16 rounds for at least 6 months. And, you know, ideally, we want them to be rising early every day. If they can't do it at the temple, that's fine. But rising early, having Mangal Aarti, and, you know, doing the same basic things that we do in the temple, maybe in a, you know, compressed or condensed form at home, but certainly these things are recommended. And the reason why they're recommended, because these are the 64 items of devotional service that Rupa Goswami has encouraged devotees to perform in order to become Krishna conscious. You know, if we just water it all down to a few things or some rituals, then it doesn't have the same potency. Tivrena bhakti yogena. But if we focus our devotional service intently on these activities, especially early in the morning, then what's the end result of that? Despite the fact that it's very difficult to get up in the morning, attend Mangal Aarti, sit down for 2 hours and just chant Hare Krishna. That's not easy. Right? It's not easy to do that. It actually requires a fair amount of discipline just to sit down in one place and chant Hare Krishna for that long. There's not many devotees who can do it there. We've all got to get up and walk around. At least that's good also. If we engage in that focused activity, even though it's difficult, it's an austerity to sit down and or to wake up. You know, in the beginning it's an austerity to wake up and then stay awake. I remember when I first started going to Mongolartik and actually first moved into the temple and really seriously, you know, sometimes Tulsi, at the end of Tulsi Yada, you pay your obeisance and then just fall asleep. And then you realise everybody else has got up and somebody's singing Namo Namaha. He's like, ooh. It's happened. So this tests, you know, this really, it tests us, but, you know, if you can put in the effort to remember Krishna at that time of the day and get habituated to do that, then it's easy for the rest of the day, practically speaking. Everything becomes a lot easier. And of course then one's devotional service becomes easy too. Serving Krishna becomes quite easy because you're remembering Krishna. What is that? Katanchana. Can't remember that verse, but basically the translation of the verse goes, if you can remember Krishna, then even practically things that appear impossible become very easy. Vismrite viparitam shat sri chaitanya namamitam. If we can remember Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, then things that appear impossible, and we can see that what Prabhupada did was impossible, practically speaking, when you think about it. We were discussing in the Bhakti Shastri class the other day. Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees and no place to stay. Right? 40 rupees. Which in 40 rupees in 1966, you know, foreign exchange was about $7. You know, we wouldn't even walk out of our house with $7 in our pocket. Prabhupada left India and went to America with $7, 40 rupees. 40 rupees these days is, you know, maybe a dollar. But if one remembers Krishna, then and so the whole process of, you know, this whole process of rising early and chanting, Mangalarti, chanting, all of these things, whether it's done at home or whether it's done in the temple, it makes it easy to remember Krishna. Then other things become easy. However, the other side of this verse says, however, if you can't remember Krishna, then even the simplest thing is going to be impossible. Right, this is what happens. You know, the mind is out of control and we're asked to do something and we say, oh, I can't do that, it's too hard. Huh? We're in the grip of mental... We're on a mental platform, basically. So we test people. Ideally, we should test people. Are you qualified or are we qualified to come to this point of initiation, where we can be brought closer to the spiritual master and learn the mystery of devotional service? It's a mystery. It's an art. It's a science. It is guhyam, very secret, hidden, rahasya, secret. Right? And unless one follows this system, one can't actually be brought close to the guru to be instructed and to learn. You know, if we're not able to engage ourselves in devotional service, then what happens is we're actually not able to get the blessings, to get the the jnana, or the knowledge that Krishna is prepared to give us, because we're not actually able to, well, we're not actually able to please the spiritual master, basically. You know, if the spiritual master says do this or do that and we can't do it, then what's the chance of pleasing him? We won't have a chance to please him because we can't do what he tells us to do. So that's why he tests. Make sure that we can chant 16 rounds. Make sure that we can follow the regulated principles. Make sure that we can rise early in the morning. Make sure that we can actually do the service that we're asked to do. Prabhupada didn't want quantity. Prabhupada wanted quality. He knew that if we had quality devotees, then automatically we would get quantity. But he wanted quality first. So we test people. Then if they've been chanting 16 rounds and following these principles for 6 months, then we say, okay, now, and we have a test, 13 questions you have to answer, not very difficult. Then we say, you can now choose your spiritual master. Often what happens is that people, you know, sort of get encouraged, oh, Prabhu, you should take initiation, and this guru is the person for you, or that person is the guru for you. Or even the guru says, I'm the guru for you. Which is, just to be frank with you, that is not appropriate in ISKCON. The guru doesn't need to go around asking people or telling people, I'm the guru for you. We don't want that. You know, the gurus usually don't even know the disciples. Practically speaking, they don't know. The local temple authorities, the local temple devotees, they know who's ready. And when a person is ready, they're quite capable and able of recommending people. That's the better system. That way then we don't get people jump-starting or being initiated prematurely. Because there's no benefit in being initiated prematurely, actually, if you can't follow the basic process. You don't, you know, sort of like, you're just not qualified. And if you're not qualified and can't follow the process, you won't make spiritual advancement. Or we won't make spiritual advancement. So better that we qualify people before we initiate them. And that's why we have this system. Prabhupada describes this system in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And basically it's the system that I just described. Follow the regulated principles, chant 16 rounds, rise early, help do service, render service to the deities. That's what we're looking for. If a person can do that, well, first of all, if they can't do that, then we should try to help them come up to that level, come up to that level, come up to that level. There's no point in initiating somebody when they're premature. They won't, you know, they just won't get into the, they won't follow the process. If you don't follow the process, have a guess what happens. What happens if you don't follow the process? Don't go anywhere. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the example of the wedding party. The wedding party got in the boat. You know, actually I was reading the other day, in India, especially in Bengal, there was a very sophisticated system of channels and dikes and water management in the country before the British came. And actually what happened was the British ran it down. They didn't maintain it. You know, they built railway lines and just blocked it off in some cases. And basically they damaged a system of transport and of water management that had been in practice for hundreds of years, for centuries, right, built up over time. But the British, when they came to India, basically they plundered the place. And that was one of the things that they... So this is why this story is appropriate. The wedding party was getting on the boat to go to take the bride home, and they're all partying and jolly, because that's what happens at weddings, everybody's happy. They get in the boatman starts rowing. It's night time. They wake up in the morning, they look out, and they say, we haven't gone anywhere. Oh, what happened? You forgot to untie the boat. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this example to illustrate. If we hold on to our material attachments, even if we practice devotional service, we won't go anywhere. So the whole purpose of making sure that people are qualified to, and why we should also become qualified as devotees, is so that we could make some advancement in devotional service. We can give up our material attachments. That's what the Brahminical culture is all about. Tapasya, austerity, chantir, living simply, right? Living simply. Being tolerant. Arjavam means living simply. Astikyam, following the principles of Vedic culture. So when a person is ready for that, then we say, yes, okay, now you can choose your spiritual master, but then you have to keep following the process. And then still tested before they take initiation. We want to make sure that a person is eligible and capable of being a disciple. Not because, you know, what happened, you know, material life is unforgiving. Life is unforgiving. I don't know if you've noticed. Bhakta was telling me about his bad back. He's in a brace. Keep his back up. He says, oh, material life. Isn't it fun? And as we were discussing yesterday, why does Krishna do that to his devotees? So that we'll become more attached to him. So we'll realise, my chanting is terrible. You know, I just think it feels to me like I'm just a machine. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I have no attachment for chanting Hare Krishna. So then Krishna puts on the, you know, puts the screws on. And then, this is just a taste of what it's going to be like at the time of death. So we actually have to, as Sankarsan Prabhu mentioned nicely yesterday, you know, we have to go deeper into our chanting of Hare Krishna. We have to go deeper into our devotional service. We actually have to absorb ourselves in our chanting. We have to absorb ourselves in studying Prabhupada's books, not just sort of like, you know, reading, but actually deeply meditating and absorbing ourselves on the instructions that are contained within. You know, sometimes reading can be just absorbing yourself in one sentence or in a word, because it has such deep meaning for a devotee. Not that we read, I read 50 pages today. Although that also can be appropriate. So, you know, becoming initiated and certainly getting to the point of Brahminical initiation, which is what we want to get to, requires dedication, determination, utsahan nishchayat dharayat tat tat kama pravartanat, recommended by Rupa Goswami. Utsahan means enthusiastic, but we have to maintain our enthusiasm. Now, you know, an example of Prabhupada maintaining his enthusiasm. Prabhupada had translated the whole of the Bhagavad Gita and had written his book with purports before he came to America. It was stolen. Right? The whole book, poof, gone. Now, how did Prabhupada react to that? It's interesting. Prabhupada had his typewriter stolen. You know what Prabhupada said? He said, well, Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. That was Prabhupada's response. Not, oh no, the world's just collapsed. My Bhagavad Gita was stolen. Now, I mean, you can be sure that Prabhupada was upset that his Bhagavad Gita was stolen. Although, you know, maybe the person who stole it would have benefited at least from carrying, you know, Krishna's instructions. There's some devotional service carrying the Bhagavad Gita. Right? But what did it do? Well, it gave Prabhupada an opportunity to write another Bhagavad Gita. Probably the same Bhagavad Gita, you know, because Prabhupada was so deeply absorbed in Krishna's instructions. That's how, you know, Krishna manifests himself in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. And the Guru manifests himself in a form of Krishna who teaches the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. So, was Prabhupada discouraged? No. Prabhupada maintained his enthusiasm. His typewriter was stolen, his Bhagavad Gita was stolen, still he maintained his enthusiasm. Because he knew, well, Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. And Krishna, you know, replaced the Bhagavad Gita, replaced the typewriter, replaced the Bhagavad Gita, and gave Prabhupada so much, actually. So one has to be enthusiastic even in spite of difficulties, right? So that means determined. Utsahan nischayadharyat. Determined. Patient. Process takes time. The material energy is ruthless. Unforgiving. It'll smash us down. No? But we have to come back up again. We have to... Okay, 4 o'clock. Jai, Mangaladi, Haribo. You're lucky sometimes if you can even know that it's 4 o'clock. What's going on? The alarm clock, where is it? So we have to, really be very, very, very determined as devotees. And what we see is even devotees who we've tested and who have even undergone great difficulties also sometimes slip away, unfortunately, by not remaining focused, tibrena bhakti jogena, then they weaken. This is one of the reasons why Prabhupada wanted us to come together and be in the association of the devotees. By ourselves, we're just like a little stick, easily broken. But if you put a bunch of little sticks together and you try to break them, you can't. Individually, you can just snap them all off, easily. And that's why we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it's why we test people. We don't test them because we don't like them. But we test... This is why Krishna doesn't test us because he doesn't like us. Krishna tests us so that he can make us stronger. You know, that's how you make... You know, when they're making steel, what they do is they beat it. Right? We don't like the beating. We want to be caressed. But what happens if we get caressed? We just fall asleep. Like a cat, you know, just fall asleep. So every now and again, Krishna has to go, wake up. You're in the material world. And the material world is not a pleasant place. Just in case you hadn't noticed. You're just getting too comfortable here. So we think, oh, come on, Krishna, what? It's not fair. What are you picking on me for? I didn't do anything. This is why Krishna tests us and why we also have to test the candidates, people who want to become eligible basically we want to bring people to this point of Brahminical initiation, second initiation, right? This is our culture, if you like. Then they are meant to be tested. It's the duty of the guru to test the disciple. It's even the duty of the disciple to test the guru in the beginning. You know, once we've chosen who our spiritual master is going to be, then we should stick with that. You know, sometimes devotees choose somebody to be their guru and then the guru doesn't do what they want him to do. Doesn't initiate him straight away. Oh, what's going on? So then they decide, oh, I think I'll choose another guru. But really, that sort of puts a question mark about their realization of who the first guru was, because, you know, they say, oh, I accept the guru as the representative of God and whatever he tells me to do, I should do. Yes, I accept you as my guru, but then when the relationship says, oh, no, I don't like him, I want to get another guru. Find a guru who will initiate me quicker or won't test me. But that's not really beneficial for everybody. If the guru is testing us, if Krishna, basically we should see that as Krishna is testing us. Krishna is testing me. And Krishna will test us, whether through the guru or through the other devotees or through just circumstance, we will be tested. So we test people. to become Brahmanas. And then, you know, and we like to see it. Samo, tamas, tapaso, chantim, ajivam, evacha, gyanam, vigyanam, ashtikyam, brahma, kamas, vabhavajam. We may still be, you know, systems analysts and, you know, accountants and whatever else it is that we happen to be doing in our day job, right? But when we rise in the morning, we put on our tilak, we put on our, we act as brahmanas, basically. Our culture, our Vaishnava culture is brahminical by nature. But actually it's better than brahminical because it's transcendental. It's devotional service. There's nothing higher than being able to engage in devotional service. Although sometimes we think this is the worst punishment that I've ever had. But actually it's the highest. It's the highest engagement of the living entity. Nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Begins with hearing and chanting and remembering. But it goes on. That's just the first three. It goes further than that. To the point of Atmanivedanam, giving everything to Krishna. So that service to Krishna is the means by which we enter into that transcendental mystery of devotional service, of Krishna consciousness. And without it, we can't enter into that transcendental realm. We support it with the brahminical culture. But actually we're looking for that which is beyond brahminical culture, that which is transcendental. That's what we're aiming for. We test people to make sure that they can come up to that brahminical standard. Because if we test them, then we can be at least somewhat relatively sure that that person will then be able to go on and into the mysteries of the transcendental science of devotional service. That's where we really want to take. Well, that's where we want to take ourselves. That's where Prabhupada wants to take us. And that's where Krishna wants us to go. And he wants us to go into that transcendental realm, beyond this material stuff. But it is, the basis is brahminical culture. All right, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Bhakti.
You were saying before about how when a person is ready, then when I was the chooser of guru.
Yeah.
What happens in a situation where, you know, something like you commented before, that sometimes a devotee is encouraged to choose a particular guru, like by other devotees?
What happens? They can lament. They can change. Yeah, they can change. I think if one has, there may be valid reasons for. Yeah, I would encourage the devotees to make up their own minds about who they and. I would encourage the devotees to try to establish a personal relationship with somebody before they take shelter. Establish a personal, and don't make it conditional upon what everybody else tells you. Because I'll tell you, you know, everybody who's initiated by, you know, this particular guru, well, that's all the intelligent devotees in this community. Only the intelligent devotees have taken initiation from this guru. That means the rest of us are all stupid. For example, I don't know. People don't come and encourage me to take initiation from other people, so I don't quite know what they say, although I do know they do say it. But we should avoid that as much as possible. We should have a supportive culture wherein we can appreciate that everybody's fortunate to have a guru. But not that one guru is better than another. because, you know, it's a personal relationship. Krishna manifests in multifarious ways, and he manifests himself in multifarious gurus. So, you know, and there's no real benefit to having, you know, more on one side than on the other, because we're all going to go back home, back to Godhead, right? It's not like there's a competition that the people who, the more people for one particular guru's camp, they all go back to Krishna faster than anybody else. In fact, they may not as a result of doing that, because they end up, you know, accumulating people who aren't qualified. Then the guru has to come back to get them all again. So, you know, so better to have a culture where we encourage the devotees to make advancement in spiritual life, to come to the point of realizing their own relationship with their spiritual master. Certainly we can encourage them to do it, but not a particular person. And it's tricky because, you know, there's this mystic aura about gurus. Oh, he's my guru. Oh. And then, you know, whatever he says, it's sort of like some kind of mystical thing. Especially for those who don't have a guru, or, you know, people who aren't aware of the culture and the relationships and the nature of even testing. They just know that somebody's a guru, and then it's all of a sudden. And then whenever they speak, then these magic words come out. And it's sort of like, oh, well, I have to just follow whatever they say because he's a guru. Of course, they don't do that. Actually, they don't do it. Right? The guru, they'll be attracted to the spiritual master. Oh, he's my guru. But then when the guru tells them, you know, chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, rise early in the morning, do all those, they don't do that. They say, oh, he's my guru. Without actually the substance being there. What we want is the substance. So we should encourage the substance. The external manifestation of all of these relationships will take care of itself, especially when the substance of devotional service is encouraged and nurtured and allowed to grow. Then automatically all of the other details. Especially within ISKCON, we have to be careful because, you know, we actually, you see it in some communities, we generally don't have it so much. You know, competition between the guru camps. Sometimes, you know, a bit of tug of war between people. He's my guru, no. He's our disciple, no, he's our disciple. What's the good of that? We're supposed to cooperate, not compete, you know, tug of war with disciples. And we should also, you know, we should actually discourage, it's part of ISKCON law, we should actually discourage gurus canvassing for disciples. You know, and saying, oh, I'm your guru, you should, you know, have you taken shelter yet? Have you taken shelter yet? Well, hang on a second, does it matter if he's taken shelter yet or not? Let him make up his own mind. Or even, you know, I'm your guru. It happens. It happens here. You know, the devotees are taught, I'm your guru. You should take shelter of me. Hang on a second. Whoa! If you, the guru doesn't know that person, so how can he say, you should take shelter from me? Certainly if in our rules and regulations, the local temple devotees are supposed to ascertain whether a person's chanting 16 rounds, whether they've been chanting 16 rounds consistently, whether they're actually able to rise early in the morning, whether they can do devotional service. None of those things have been tested by the guru. Yet according to ISKCON law, that's what's supposed to happen. So we, you know, sometimes we, and it's not a very pleasant task, I've had to do it on more than one occasion, I have to remind the gurus, Hari Bol Maharaj or Prabhu, whoa, take it easy. Let us determine that we have so many people coming up. Right? It's not like there's a dearth of people coming to Krishna consciousness, especially in Melbourne. We're so fortunate. There are so many people coming to Krishna consciousness who are wanting to make progress, right? But it's up to us to determine and you know, make sure that those people are actually qualified. We'll do that. Then when they're ready for initiation, then we'll recommend them and we can initiate them. That's a safe system, isn't it? Rather than you know, oh, you can be my disciple. And actually, this is Prabhupada's system, when you think about it. Prabhupada's system was, he said, you recommend these people for initiation to the temple presidents. And when they're ready, and Prabhupada said, make sure they're chanting 16 rounds. Make sure they're following the four, and especially for brahmanas. Prabhupada was quite insistent that, you know, make sure they're rising early. Make sure they're attending the program. Make sure they're offering their food. Make sure they're reading my books frequently. What Prabhupada wanted. Read the books frequently. And he left it up because Prabhupada didn't know. You know, sometimes people think, oh, the guru is like some, you know, he's like the super soul. In fact, he's described as being like the super soul. But, you know, Prabhupada would say, you know, I'm not like the super soul. I don't know everything that's going on around the place. He doesn't know whether you're chanting 16 rounds or not, whether you're following the principles or not, how long you've been chanting for. But that's something that the local devotees are able to ascertain. Then when we've ascertained that devotees are in that capacity and are ready, then we can say, here's somebody who we feel we're confident in recommending for initiation. I'm confident. I like to be confident because, as I've been told, and as I've read in Prabhupada's books, you know, the temple president who's recommending people, he gets the reactions also for the sinful behaviour of the disciple if he's not qualified. It's not just the spiritual master who initiates, but it's, you know, everybody else who's complicit. So it's in our best interest to make sure that everybody's qualified, because otherwise we'll get a reaction if they're not. It's a, you know, we're all, it's not like it's just one, we're individuals, but basically we're all in this together. And so therefore we want to look after our individual interests, but we also want to look after the collective interests of the community and of the society. That's healthy. So, yeah, we can be safe in assuming that people can make up their own minds. We don't have to help them. And in fact, I make it a policy not even to inquire from people. Who are you going to take initiation from? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I don't ask. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's your choice. You know, I could say, you know, I think you should take initiation from somebody. Anybody. I could influence people to do that, but what's the benefit for me from doing that? Where's the benefit? I don't think there's any benefit from doing that. It's better that you, that I, that we all have a very personal relationship with our guru, and that we've worked on developing that relationship. That's my personal understanding or belief in the matter. Otherwise, what kind of, you know, so just say if I was everybody that came to speak to me, I said, you should take initiation from Bhuya Jambabu. I could do that. Huh? Now, where would there be the benefit for all of us if we did that? Certainly wouldn't be a benefit for me, because people would say, you told me to take initiation from him, and now look what's happened to me. It's your fault. Anything else? Yes. Give us a note. Hang on a second. Yep. Reveal your mind confidentially, yes.
Is there a need for someone to let his seniors, like who are cultivating, to let them know that
Well, I guess what can happen is somebody can come and say, who do you think I should take initiation from? Right? I am trying to decide who I should take initiation from. Who do you think I should take initiation from, right? What's your answer? What's the answer? Yeah, well, he should let the temple president know. And whoever's looking after him, I guess, is his siksha. If you have a siksha guru, it's proper etiquette to do that. That's not wrong. Huh? And maybe, you know, I guess it's okay to reveal your mind to people you trust. And say, you know, I'm thinking about taking initiation from this person or that person, but I'm not sure, you know, what do you think I should do? Well, the person who's instructing can say, well, just, you know, encourage them to wait until Krishna indicates. Wait until, or, you know, it's a sensitive matter, I guess, but it can be discussed. Not that we shouldn't discuss. My point is, we shouldn't go out of our way to encourage people to take initiation from any particular person. Let the individual make up their mind. We can help them make up their mind by explaining to them the principles of taking shelter of a guru. The responsibilities that it requires, right? The obligations that it requires. The needs of the devotee to receive spiritual instruction. Instruct the disciple that, you know, you're not taking a guru so that he solves all of your problems. You're supposed to be his servant or her servant, right? You're supposed to be a servant, not that you've got a problem. Oh, Guru Maharaj, please get me married. Or, you know, whatever. Please help me fix up my marital breakdown. The whole idea of, you know, these principles, definitely we should discuss the principle of taking shelter of a guru and becoming a disciple. And it's not so much who, but how. Right? Who is a fairly, it's an important detail, but it's a detail that will be taken care of when the how is taken care of. Right? When the mood of service is in the heart of the devotee, then Krishna will reveal himself in the form of the spiritual master very quickly. Especially within ISKCON, that's the whole system. And we're lucky because, you know, we have that opportunity. Before 1966, that opportunity was hardly available for anybody. Now look, it's widely available by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy. So, yes, it is desirable to reveal your mind in that fashion, and it's also desirable for the senior devotees who are giving shelter to others to instruct the devotees how to take shelter from a guru. Not who, but how. That's the important thing. And what it means to take shelter. What it means to be a disciple. Huh? Not that, you know, we have a picture. He's my guru. Oh, I said guru. My Prabhupada says, you just have a picture, keep him in the cupboard. Then don't do anything. My Prabhupada could have had hundreds of thousands of disciples if he wanted to do it like that. But what Prabhupada wanted was quality. That's what we want. I would think that's what we want in our society. We want quality people. If we are to expand Krishna consciousness effectively, then we really want quality people. That means, you know, when they get knocked down, they just stand back up again. Hey, bol, ready for service. What's next? Okay, what's next? You know, what's going to happen? Is life going to get easier in ISKCON if we preach more? More service, more devotees, more complicated relationships, more problems,
more responsibilities,
more nectar. Okay, who's ready for it? Who wants more responsibility? Please raise your hands. Only a few putting their hands up. No, after a while you realise, hang on a second, this is serious. I thought this was going to be fun. I joined the Hare Krishnas because I thought I was going to have a lot of fun. It was a big realisation. I've told the story before, but you know, got up one morning, I'd only been in the temple for a couple of weeks, we used to sleep up here, ran down to the shower, came back, got in the stairway, and all of a sudden I heard this. Ooh, what was that? I came upstairs. Cormor had been putting his tealock on in his room, and somebody fired a shotgun through the windows. Whoa! Really? This wasn't what I signed up for. This is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, but ooh, Sankirtan army. It's not the kind of army that I wanted to join. So, you know, I realised, wow, this is serious business. The how. If we emphasise the how to be a disciple, how to take shelter. So if somebody wants to take shelter from somebody, then we can say, sure, fine, okay. Go and have a chat with Aniruddha, or go and have a, you know, or even, you know, we have a situation where the devotees that visit Melbourne that are gurus, and even, you know, maybe the guru is not one of the current spiritual masters within ISKCON. It doesn't have to be a person who's already initiating even, actually, strictly speaking. And that's one area where we're criticised by different quarters of society, that we only allow certain people to initiate. But actually it doesn't have to be only those who are initiating. If a person is qualified, they can be authorised, or shall we say, at least not objected to. We have a no objection system. But encouraging people how to recognise the guru, how to recognise yourself as qualified, how to establish a relationship. You know, there are systems. If you want to get the shelter test, you can get in touch with Rasa Nandini.